The Reality of the Resurrection, Elder L. Ray L. Christensen, L. Ray L. Christensen, Conference Report, April 1967, pages 45-46, My brothers and sisters, with you I have been thrilled this day since the moment this conference opened and we heard the outstanding message of our President, David O. McKay. Now in order to meet the demands of the clock, I beg of you to let me amputate the first part of my remarks. I hope the hemorrhage is not so great that something will not be left. Resurrection certain and universal, notwithstanding the precious promises made by the Lord as recorded in the scriptures, I discover that many people are still in doubt and disbelief and uncertainty as to the reality of their coming forth in the resurrection. There is nothing more certain than the resurrection of the body. There is nothing more universal than the resurrection. I do not pretend to understand all the complexities of this great event, neither do I know just how the food that I eat is assimilated and transformed, some into bone, some into muscle, some into blood, some into digestive juices. I am not so concerned about the process as I am about the fact. Amulek, the Nephite prophet, speaks of a complete and literal restitution. Seti, the spirit and the body shall be reunited again in its perfect form. Both limb and joint shall be restored us to its proper frame, even as we now are at this time. And our beloved President Joseph Fielding Smith has assured us in these words, that every fundamental part of every body will be restored to its proper place in the resurrection, no matter what may become of the body in death, if it be burned by fire, lost at sea, no matter what, every fundamental part of it will be restored to its own proper place. What an enlightening and comforting thought that is! But what of those who die in infancy? The Prophet Joseph Smith taught that the physical body will develop to its full stature, whether on earth, or in the life hereafter, and he gave assurance that mothers who have laid their children away in infancy may hold them again in their arms and they will, in due time, develop to their perfect stature. Resurrection from mortality to immortality. One thing we must keep in mind, all persons will, as a gift of the Redeemer, be raised from mortality to immortality, with perfect bodies, no more subject to aches, or pains, or high blood pressure, or arthritis, or disease, or any kind of physical deformity, but, in order to have the fullness of joy and the fullness of opportunity, and that peace which passeth understanding, and all opportunities in the resurrection in order to have these blessings, we must earn them through obedience to God and through service to others. When we are resurrected, I doubt that we will be asked, how many positions did you hold, but rather, how many people did you help? Acquired knowledge and intelligence continue, through the justice of God, each of us will receive exactly what he merits. Each will be raised to a condition commensurate with that for which he has qualified himself. The gifts and abilities we have developed here will be restored to us. The knowledge and intelligence we have acquired will continue with us. Our attitudes, our weaknesses, our virtues, our positive attributes will be part of us. Indeed, what we are to be, we are now becoming. The Book of Mormon teaches that we shall in the resurrection have a perfect knowledge of all our guilt and our uncleanness. And the righteous shall have a perfect knowledge of their enjoyment and their righteousness, reap as we sow. In summary, then, God organized our spirits and our bodies and then, in his great wisdom, permitted us to create or shape our future. We are reaping in this life what we have sown in the pre-existence. We shall reap hereafter what we now sow. It was in harmony with this principle that the Prophet Joseph Smith taught the divine truth that whatever principle of intelligence we attain unto in this life, it will rise with us in the resurrection. And if a person gains more knowledge and intelligence in this life through his diligence and obedience than another, he will have so much the advantage in the world to come. Therefore, the scriptures assure us that our resurrection shall be according to the glory by which and to which our bodies are quickened. Ye who are quickened by a portion of the celestial glory shall then receive of the same, even a fullness, and they who are quickened by a portion of the terrestrial glory shall then receive of the same, even a fullness, and so also with the celestial glory. And they who remain shall also be quickened, nevertheless, they shall return again to their own place, to enjoy that which they are willing to receive, because they were not willing to enjoy that which they might have received. For what doth it profit a man if a gift is bestowed upon him, and he receive not the gift? Behold, he rejoices not in that which is given unto him, neither rejoices in him who is the giver of the gift. Such, then, is the reality of life after death, by divine appointment and by his own acceptance. Jesus died that all might live again, and he provided a plan whereby they who will by receive, in addition to life hereafter, honor and joy and satisfaction and happiness in the fullness, where we may, if we will, live in a state of never-ending happiness with those we love. To this I testify, bearing also my witness that God lives, that Jesus is the Christ, that Joseph Smith was the instrument in their hands to restore this great gospel and church and kingdom, and that David O. McKay is today the prophet of God as surely as any other prophet ever was. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Master, Amen.